Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the first Sunday of Advent, we start the preparation for Christmas. In the liturgy of the season, there is much talk about sin and the fall of man, while we get ready for the birth of the Savior. The faithful of the Old Testament are set for us as an example how we must beware of sin and put our trust in the coming Redeemer. As you heard last Sunday, Saint John the Baptist was the last of the prophets, and Saint John came from the desert during especially dark and gloomy days, when the nation of Israel was in a great expectation of a Savior. It was in the year 67 before Christ, when the last independent ruler of Judea, Queen Salome Alexandra, died. The Romans conquered the Holy Land and eventually set King Herod as the new ruler. But Herod was an Idumean and not a Jew, and the ruler's chair was now vacant. In the years of anticipation of the Messiah, an intruder was sitting on a royal throne. The scepter had passed from Judah and from David, and now laid in Roman hands. There had been no king since Queen Salome died, and for many generations there had been no prophet in Israel. And then the voice of John the Baptist started to thunder in the desert, calling people to repentance, because the true King and Savior was coming. As we heard last Sunday, the faithful represent the tiny drop of water drowned to the wine in the chalice. We are called to give out our offering as the faithful of the old law did. During this Advent, you should be very generous in the spirit of offering in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In your offerings, in your gifts, in preparing for Christmas, which you present in the priest's chalice, you need to be complete and generous. One of the marks that we are traditional Catholics is that we stay faithful to the true Mass, which is a sacrifice, not a meal. The idea of those who took the Mass away was to make Mass easily approachable to people, but they forgot, or probably willingly ignored, the essential fact of which this Advent reminds us. Our offering will be pleased to God only if we are in the state of grace when we make them. We must truly keep Christ in Christmas, but not too often you hear mentioned how you do that. First thing, because sins and sinful acts cannot please God, we must eliminate them from our lives. We must think nothing, like nothing, desire nothing, and do nothing that we cannot offer up in our next Mass. In the spirit of penance, we need to banish from our lives those thoughts, affections, words, and actions that would not be pleasing to God. It is true that in the midst of the holiday preparations, this kind of talk about penance and sin is not very Christmassy, but during Advent it is supposed to be so. The warning voices of our Lord and John the Baptist boom in our ears during Advent Masses for reasons. Secondly, we must live the Mass. Mass needs to be heard entirely and accept no interruptions or breaks. Remember the importance of attending. If you miss one of the principal parts, offertory, consecration, communion, you have missed the whole Mass. But physical presence should be attached with the spirit of offering. And we shall live our offerings if we forget our own comfort and come to see our offerings accepted through the hands of the priest in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This Advent, we should spend time with our Lord in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It usually takes time and effort to make an offering a gift, and the best Christmas gifts are those which have been offered in the spirit of sacrifice and penance, not those purchased with money. It is estimated that each adult in the United States will spend almost $900 on Christmas gifts this year, the total being something like $500 billion. It is truly amazing how much money and effort is poured into this industry. In itself, there's of course nothing wrong to purchase a gift for your loved ones, but know that a gift is always something what a benefactor gives from his own free will. That is, you can do nothing to earn a gift. The world of King Herod and Emperor Augustus had given God nothing except sin over sin and crime over crime. And you, whether you are a child or an adult, can never think that you are somehow entitled to get any presents, whether they are spiritual or material. Gratitude to God and to your benefactors is the best return and offering you can give. On Friday, on the anniversary of Bishop Dolan's consecration, Bishop Sanborn talked very kindly how much Bishop Dolan has sacrificed during his 40 years plus of priesthood, and also how great a sacrifice was accepting the episcopal consecration 25 years ago. During Christmas time, the pastor usually receives many cards and gifts as token of appreciation of his ministry. And of course, those are joyful to have, but the best sign of a true gift offering for a priest is to see his people line up for confession, attending holy sacrifice of the Mass and making a good holy communion. It was very touching on my ordination anniversary to get cards from our school children where they told that they appreciate the generosity and the daily sacrifice of the Mass, and that they say prayers for me. For a teacher or a parent or a grandparent, there is no better gift than prayers said with gratitude, and that is a gift you can't check out from Walmart or order online from Amazon, no matter how much money you have in your bank account. But if you do use money for your Christmas gifts, make sure you use them as offerings to do something good. Even with the current gas prices, you can put awful lot of miles in your car with $900, driving you and your family to Mass. You parents, do not think first of all to fill your kids' stockings with toys. Of course, those are nice to give within reason, but most of all, when you think of a gift for your children, Think of something what is useful to their souls. Bring them to the church and bring yourself there too. And instead of filling stockings, fill the chalice of the priest. While preparing yourself and your families for Christmas, you should, in doing that, think of our Lord's words of today: heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This saying was given in the occasion when the disciples were walking with Jesus and admiring the magnificent temple of Herod, like a child would be amazed of a giant Christmas market. In building that temple, this evil king had spared no expenses, and its sights and splendor was something even the pagans wondered and admired. One of the disciples, prompted by this beauty, exclaimed to our Lord, "Master, behold what manner of stones and what kind of buildings." But Jesus answered him, "Seest thou all these great buildings? There shall not be left a stone upon a stone that shall not be destroyed." At the end of the world, also all of your material possession disappears, but your soul is the one which remains. Whether it's heaven or hell, your soul lasts forever. Therefore, take good care of your soul, appear in front of God, offer yourself and your family to Him, because as Our Lady sings in the Magnificat, "And His mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear Him. He hath deposed the mighty from their seat and hath exalted the humble." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.